The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bonjour, hi, Canada. Greeting to everyone across my 300 affiliates in the United States, in Canada, listening across the world, watching on Facebook. Good morning to you people who like to watch the show on Facebook, or those of you who like to watch on Instagram. Good morning to you as well. I always wear the same thing, you know. It's always a blue shirt, unless I put on my Browns fleece. But it's good to have you here on Thursday, September the 24th, in the year of the plague, 2020, in the year in which originalists finally get to six. This is the year we have been waiting for since 1987, since the ambush of Judge Bork, since the closing of the American mind. I tried to explain to a friend offline last night why law people, rule of law people, originalists, constitutionalists, center-right people are so eager to see President Trump nominate and the Senate quickly confirm a replacement for the late Judge Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who is an American original and quite a stalwart of the left and should be and is being honored by the country for her service. But we have been lied to and taken it on the chin for 33 years since Judge Bork. Justices O'Connor and Kennedy often disappointed us. Justice Souter always disappointed us. The most important moment in the history of the Constitution for the last 33 years is when President George H.W. Bush picked Judge Souter, then Justice Souter of the New Hampshire Supreme Court, over Judge Edith Jones of the Fifth Circuit. Everything would have been different if Edith Jones had been picked, and Justice Souter of the State Supreme Court did not reveal to George H.W. Bush that he wasn't what President Bush was looking for. He wasn't straight with him. He just didn't tell him, and he was a lefty. And so we have watched again and again and again the Constitution be distorted and the rule of law broken in the interest of the rule of nine with a majority of five unelected justices. Now, the issues on which the next Supreme Court, the next one being the one that exists after President Trump nominates and a new justice is sworn in, will deal with so many issues. The separation of powers. Who gets to do what when in our government? The free exercise clause and its tension, so-called tension with the establishment clause. The extent of free speech, and we need to protect free speech in this age of intolerance. The breadth of the Second Amendment. It's an individual right. The court ruled that in Heller. What does that mean? We have to worry about criminal procedure in the age of surveillance. And I'm here kind of a squish. I think that the surveillance state has become ubiquitous, and we have to worry about that. Whether or not we defer to regulatory agencies, and I'm against that. I think regulatory agencies are often populated by people who have no idea what they're doing and are righteous and extremist and indifferent to the rights of individual citizens. Property rights and the scope of regulatory takings, especially of concerned me for years. I keep thinking of Tom Morger, who died years ago. Owned a little land in Riverside County, banked his whole dream, the American dream, he and his wife. I helped them as much as I could. There was no stopping them. They had all their property taken by the confiscatory actions of the United States Fish and Wildlife Service and the Stevens Kangaroo Rat. They weren't big developers. They were little people, crushed by the government. And I'm animated by people like them who have their whole dreams destroyed by the regulatory state, federal and sometimes state. I think as well about people who are concerned about the rights of the state vis-a-vis the federal government, federalism. And just look, there is a scope of congressional power to regulate commerce, but it's gone crazy in recent years. Obamacare mandate, that was unconstitutional in the eyes of four justices. I understand and applaud Chief Justice Roberts' opinion in Obamacare. I'm not sure that Obamacare will survive. The mandate will survive. The mandate is gone, excuse me, but that Obamacare will survive given the rescission by the Congress of the tax upon which it depended in the eyes of the Chief Justice. We will see. It won't matter much because the Congress is committed to supporting coverage for people with pre-existing conditions. And don't let anyone tell you otherwise. And, of course, reproductive rights are on the table. I do not believe same-sex marriage is on the table. That is done, finished. People have relied upon it. And there is one great principle of Anglo-American law, which is reliance. And if you rely on something, if the government tells you X, you may not thereafter have a post facto repudiation of that upon which you have relied. So we're not going to be changing marriage rights for same-sex people. So the center right, for 33 years, we've been disappointed by Justice O'Connor and Justice Kennedy often, always by Justice Souter. Some, not me, but some are disappointed by the Chief Justice. I think his decision in Obamacare was brilliant, actually. Some are now disappointed by Justice Gorsuch. I'm not. I understand Bostock. I might even applaud Bostock after a while. It went a little bit further than it needed to, and perhaps that will change. But my point is, a lot of the people who are criticizing the president for moving quickly don't understand what's at stake. They really don't. Now, I've been teaching constitutional law 23 of the last 25 years. I'm off this year because I took a leave of absence before the pandemic. But I had intended to be doing primarily the work of the Nixon Foundation this year. And I'll be back teaching in the classroom a year from now. And it will be a new Supreme Court. And my life will have been spent watching the arc of the Constitution wobble. The Warren Court did great damage to the Constitution. The Berger and Rehnquist Court stopped the damage. The Roberts Court is slowly repairing some of the holes in the boat, and I think with a sixth justice will greatly repair the Constitution and reestablish people's confidence in the rule of law and make the Congress do what it's supposed to do. But I must tell you, what I'm going to talk about in this first hour will make you uncomfortable. But I'm speaking as a lifelong Catholic and as a student of the First Amendment and of anti-Catholic bigotry. And just so my new listeners understand, born and raised Roman Catholic, 12 years of Catholic education, mass attending Catholic until the mid-80s. I left the church when the bishops lost their mind and kept sending letters to the White House counsel's office that were just nuts on nuclear weapons and free enterprise. They didn't understand a thing, and they were overrun at the National Conference of Catholic Bishops by lefties who didn't understand a thing. And I couldn't go to Mass without hearing some priest say something dumb about these letters from the bishops. They just were not rooted in reality, as the fall of the wall proved. But I was patiently talked back into the church by Archbishop Chaput, then of Denver, now of Philadelphia and retired. A great man, just very patient, never angry. Always persuasive. So I'm a mass attending. I'm not a theologian, nor did I stay at a Holiday Inn last night. But I know anti-Catholicism when I see it, smell it, hear it, read it. And it's nested for many years on the far right, but now it nests on the far left and within the Democratic Party. That does not mean that the Democratic Party as a whole is anti-Catholic. They've nominated a Catholic. Their speaker is a Catholic. Some people want me to call people who call themselves Catholic, not Catholic. No, 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 not me. Catholics know, at least those who study the catechism, you cannot judge another person's soul or their commitment. You have no idea. Someone wants to call themselves a Catholic, good on them. I hope they are. But I know anti-Catholicism, I can smell it in a room. I remember the character Aaron Jastrow in the novel War, The Winds of War and War and Remembrance, saying he could smell Santayana's anti-Semitism. Well, I can smell anti-Catholicism, and some people don't even make a effort to hide it. Dianne Feinstein, Dick Durbin, who is himself a Catholic, went after Amy Coney Barrett when she was nominated for the Seventh Circuit, asking her if she was an Orthodox Catholic. Hirono, the senator from Hawaii, who is never going to win the spelling bee, indulges it. James Martin, the liberal Jesuit, has written a long article 20 years ago about anti-Catholicism, which I've tweeted out for people, and you can follow me at Hugh Hewitt. There's a great new young writer over at the National Review, Alexandra De Sanctis, who writes Democrats' anti-Catholic bigotry is all about abortion. When I come back, I'll tell you what happened yesterday after I simply noted the existence of anti-Catholicism within the Democratic Party. Not every Democrat, of course, and the Democratic Party has nominated a Catholic. I get that. But it is there within the Democratic Party, and the left went nuts. They went nuts. They don't want to be called the anti-Catholic bigots that some of them are, and some of them resent being called. I understand that, too, and we'll talk about it after the break. Don't go anywhere. The Supreme Court justice must be confirmed. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Good morning from inside the Beltway. Prayers for Louisville. They had riots last night. Two police officers were shot. Both are in stable condition this morning. More than 100 people were arrested. There were riots in other places across the United States following the return of indictments against only one police officer in the shooting of Breonna Taylor, and then not for murder. I saw that incited almost online yesterday and shake my head. I never comment on criminal proceedings. I just don't, because you never know unless you get in the jury room. I've been in a jury room once, and people don't know how juries work with criminal law. People who incite violence are not really to be trusted. They're just not to be trusted. I want to go back to the Supreme Court. The president said this yesterday, cut number 21.
We are going to be having a very exciting Saturday at 5 o'clock in the Rose Garden, where I'll be putting forth my nominee for Supreme Court Justice. And I think it will be a great nominee, a brilliant nominee. As you know, it's a woman. We brought it down to 5 women. It's time for a woman to be chosen with everything that's happened and with Justice Ginsburg's passing. We are going to go sometime tomorrow morning, as I understand it, to pay our respects, and we'll be over there. And I guess they probably put that announcement out, but that'll be done tomorrow morning. The vice president was there today.
And so the list of 5 is Amy Coney Barrett of the 7th Circuit, Joan Larson of the 6th Circuit, Barbara Lagoa of the 11th Circuit, Allison Rushing of the 4th Circuit, and Kate Todd, Deputy White House Counsel. I think it's almost impossible that anybody but Amy Coney Barrett be nominated now that the bigots in the opposition have surfaced. Now, not every opponent of Judge Amy Coney Barrett is bigoted, but many of her opponents are anti-Catholic.
And they have surfaced, and I don't think the president ever walks away from a fight. And so they tried to intimidate him into not nominating her. And he's going to nominate her, I think. Now, Ted Cruz went to the floor yesterday to explain why the so-called last wish of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a great American who's very nice to me, as I wrote in the Washington Post, does not bind anybody for 1 second. Cut number 25.
Reserving the right to object. This endeavor started with a resolution that the majority put forward that was intended to be a bipartisan resolution commemorating the life and service of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. That follows the bipartisan tradition this body has followed, commemorating justices when they have passed. Unfortunately, the Democratic leader has put forth an amendment to turn that bipartisan resolution into a partisan resolution. Specifically, the Democratic leader wants to add a statement that Justice Ginsburg's position should not be filled until a new president is installed, purportedly based on a comment Justice Ginsburg made to family members shortly before she passed. That, of course, is not the standard. Under the Constitution, members of the judiciary do not appoint their own successors. No Article III judge has the authority to appoint his or her own successor. Rather, judicial nominations are made by the President of the United States and confirmations are made by this body, the United States Senate.
And Morning Joe yesterday, which I don't get to watch or be on because we're on opposite each other. Well, the Washington Free Beacon condensed it to this. Cut 26.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I don't know. We won't call them fascist comments. Fascist. Fascism. Fascist. Call fascism. Fascism. Just fascist. Fascist.
Notions of fascism. Xenophobic. Racist. Demagogic. Racist. Sexist. Xenophobic. Autocratic. And fascistic. Donald Trump's a fascist.
Someone like a fascist or a tyrant or an autocrat.
Fascist rhetoric. Fascist language. Fascists.
I'm glad that you're starting talking about fascism.
Hitler. Right. Fascist rhetoric. He's talking the way fascists talk. Autocratic. Fascist. Nazi German. Before the rise of Hitler, fascist language
to Hitler, fascist Hitler, Adolf Hitler,
Hitler, Hitler, well, Hitler, 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 but Hitler,
from what Adolf Hitler preached in the early 30s. Let's just say it once and for all.
They've lost their minds at Morning Joe. They just have. They've lost their minds. I'll be right back, America. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show.
There was a time a long, long time ago. Chevys and Levis played on the radio. No cell phones, just 20,000 lights swinging on a Saturday night. All right. Hey, man, sing me a song.
Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. You know, when you're 64, as I am, and you were in the Reagan administration, as I was, and you remember the White House counsel's office and then general counsel and deputy director and acting director of OPM, you were there. I was there when Robert Bork was nominated in 1987. It changed everything about the court. Up until that time, Supreme Court appointments were sleepy affairs. Justice Scalia was appointed 97-0. Democrats appointed their judges like Whizzer White, and Republicans appointed their judges like Nino Scalia. And whoever was in office got to confirm. There were occasional misfires, like Abe Fortas, when Democrats and Republicans both realized that the sitting Supreme Court Associate Justice, who had been nominated to replace Earl Warren by LBJ, was crooked, and they had to withdraw his name, and there wasn't enough time with Democratic concurrence to put forward a successor. So Richard Nixon named Warren Burger, who was a center-right justice and not particularly well-remembered by history, but he had his moments, followed by the ascension of Justice Rehnquist after Justice Berger died, followed by Chief Justice Roberts. And but since Bork in 87, it's been fireworks every time there's been a vacancy. And the court has become incredibly politicized because of the destructive nature of Roe v. Wade, which, had it not appeared, would have allowed the country to evolve quietly and quickly, I believe, on a reproductive rights basis, following federalism's pattern of some states being pro-reproductive rights and some being very hesitant to introduce them into the body politic, reflecting the people and the policy of those locales in the states. Instead, again, as
Justice Scalia liked to say, a majority of 9 unelected justices decided. So that caused the right wing to coalesce around the idea of giving back to the states the right to control policy and to protect life in the womb, especially in the last stages of pregnancy. And Justice O'Connor was nominated and confirmed. Justice Kennedy was nominated and confirmed after both. Justice Bork and Justice Ginsburg were turned down. Then Justice Souter was appointed after Justice Thomas, and they thought by 1992, when the Casey case came down, that Roe was going to be reversed, and it wasn't. The Supreme Court majority just invented doctrine, Casey. And so the controversy has remained with us when it ought to just be returned to the states. By the way, if Roe is overturned, if Casey is overturned, it won't end abortion in America. Abortion is a constitutional right in California and New York, for example. It may, in fact, be limited almost completely. It will never be allowed to vanish because the life of the mother always trumps the life of the unborn. And there are situations where that occurs. But the number of abortions would decline dramatically if the court removed Casey and Roe and let the states do what the states want to do. And especially parental rights would be restored. That's really the biggest thing is parents want to know if their daughters are contemplating abortion. And today, that is not the case. They have the so-called judicial bypass. And I believe judicial bypasses will be limited by a lot of states. In any event, it's going to tear the country up for about 15 days, and then it's going to be over. But watch closely for anti-Catholicism. I'm going to talk about this with 4 senators today, like I have with 7 senators in the past 2 days. I'm going to keep talking about the Supreme Court until it is finished, because it is that important, the number of issues that matter. And people just went off the rails yesterday. I like everybody involved with Morning Joe. I used to do the show a lot more when it was easier for me to do both this show I was on in the afternoon and their show by going to New York and then going down to my New York studios. But it's just too hard when I'm doing this show 6 to 9 in the morning in some places. And I just think to myself that this particular controversy at this time has just left people. They've gone off the rails. And that little clip of the Morning Joe team yesterday is proof positive that, I mean, Donald Trump is not a fascist. He's not an authoritarian. It's just silly. It's just completely silly. I joke that they've lost their minds. They've just lost context and consistency and grasp of history, and they're monetizing radicalism. They're trying very hard for their 1% of the audience. Now, I got 6 million people listening to me, and I don't need to run around and overstate the case, but I really wish people would calm down. It just is not the end of the world. In fact, it will be very good for freedom and liberty. And for a variety of reasons, if you follow me on Twitter, and I hope you do, I just did a 7-tweet thread on why this matters so much. And by the way, if you agree with me, you need to go to keepamericaamerica.com. You need to go to it right now. Sign up for it and become part of the largest conservative get out the vote effort ever. KeepAmericaAmerica.com is a project of the Job Creators Network, a sponsor of this show, and we are helping them get the word out. You have a country to save. You have a Supreme Court to save. Do a little or do a lot. KeepAmericaAmerica.com makes it very easy to do that. I also want to thank Kyle Mills, who came on yesterday and completed his conversation with me about his book, Total Power, Vince Flynn's Total Power. And Kyle then tweeted very nice things about my ability to interview. And I appreciate that, Kyle. I just love a good book. I don't know if Lynn Cheney's interview with me is posted yet. Is it, gentlemen? Did we post Lynn Cheney at my YouTube channel?
And the video of it is up.
The audio and video of my interview with Lynn Cheney yesterday about her new book, The Virginian Dynasty, is posted at my YouTube channel. You really should watch that. Terrific book. Let me do the market report before I play some more audio for you. Brought to you by Birch Gold. They are the number one people in the gold business. I bought my gold from them in January. Whenever I buy gold, I buy gold from Birch Gold. You can find them at hughgold.com, or you can text my name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 474747. Just text H-U-G-H to 474747, or go to hughgold.com and request their information kit. They will help you roll over a portion of your IRA or your 401k. They will help you buy gold. They're the gold experts, and you can trust them. That's the key part. I ordered my gold. It got sent to me, paid for it, got sent to me, and into the safety deposit box. That's what I think many of you should be doing. Some of you should roll over a portion of your IRA or 401k Gold today is at 1,858. It went way down yesterday, 0.5%. Go to entry point. I always say that. If it's under 2,000, it's a good entry point. If it's over 2,000, that's a signal that inflation is on the way and you ought to get it. The 10-year Treasury at 0.68%. The Dow went down 525 yesterday. The NASDAQ went down 330. The S&P went down 78, which goes to tell you I am not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. I thought it was going to be a good day in the market yesterday. It wasn't. Amazon went down. The day before, Amazon went up 168, and yesterday, Amazon went down 129. So it's up $40 on 2 days. But, you know, what a crazy market we're in. It's the Supreme Court. It's all just screwed up. But go to Birch Gold via HughGold.com. Also, One Nation Under God, great film available at SalemNow.com. If you're looking for something to watch this Thursday night that isn't football, you don't, your spouse is watching football tonight, go to SalemNow.com. Use the promo code HUGH for 20% off. Watch One Nation Under God. It's about faith in a public high school, in a magnet school. I think you will appreciate it. Now I want to go to Mitch McConnell on the floor of the Senate yesterday because the leader is just without parallel. Here is Mitch. It is cut number, where is it?
Now, Madam President, on another matter, I've already talked a lot about history this week, but before we shift focus to President Trump's nominee, we need to review Senate history one more time. As we await the hurricane of misrepresentations and bad faith attacks that seem almost guaranteed to pour out, we need to understand in very clear terms why our colleague from New York is uniquely non-credible messenger when it comes to the Senate's role in judicial confirmations. It was Senate Democrats who began our modern challenges with their treatment of Robert Bork in 1987. But the acrimony really got going in the early 2000s when a group of Senate Democrats took the almost never used tactic of filibustering nominations and turned it into a constant routine for the first time ever. So, Madam President, who was the main driving force behind these tactics? Let's consult some New York newspapers from the year 2003. Quote, Schumer decided to put ideology on the front burner in the confirmation process. I am the leader of the filibuster movement, and you know, I'm proud of it, said the senator from Brooklyn. Quote, Mr. Schumer urged Democratic colleagues to use a tactic that some were initially reluctant to pursue, and that has since roiled the Senate. Throughout President Bush 43's two terms, our colleague built an entire personal brand out of filibustering judicial nominees. Talented, hardworking people's careers were destroyed, like the brilliant lawyer Miguel Estrada, a close friend of now Justice Elena Kagan, who says he is extraordinary and thoughtful and would have made an excellent addition to any federal court. People like that, literally destroyed by Democratic tactics. This version of the now Democratic leader said filibustering judges was an essential part of the Senate. He said that if Republicans ever use the nuclear option to change the rules in midstream because they can't get their way on every judge, it'll be doomsday for democracy. Doomsday for democracy. But of course, in the very next presidential administration, the Democratic leader leapt at the chance to press that doomsday button himself. Democrats could not abide President Obama being constrained by the same rules they'd imposed on President Bush. They had no patience to taste their own medicine. So the Democratic leader suddenly decided, quote, the old rules need to be modified. He voted to use the nuclear option to lower the bar. So there actually has been one consistent principle all this time. For the Democratic leader, two things qualify as a crisis when it comes to the courts. The sky is falling when a Democratic president does not get to confirm every last judge he or she wants. And the sky is falling when a Republican president gets to confirm any judges. 6 months ago, our colleague walked across the street to the Supreme Court steps, stood in front of a crowd, and yelled, I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions. That's the Democratic leader in front of the Supreme Court of the United States. Just last night, he said this. I tell the American people, everything you need and want, just about everything, will be taken away inexorably, month after month, year after year, decision by this new court. That's the argument. That's apparently the argument. Everything you need and want will be taken away. Is this a discussion among senators or an overdramatic line from a bad movie? Madam President, the American people do not need any more revisionist history lectures, any more threats, or any more performance outrage from the side that launched this unfortunate fight and escalated it time after time after time.
Bravo, Leader McConnell. They launched it. They escalated. We don't need it. We don't want it. We do want relieffactor.com. It's that time of the day when I take it, of course, first hour. There are the four pills I carry in curcumin, resveratrol, and omega. There's my lukewarm coffee. Down it goes, and I must tell you, it makes it possible. As I did yesterday, I walked 7 miles. Well, I had to vote yesterday. I had to walk to the polling station, which I was happy to do, and walk back. And I've already voted in Virginia. I was able to do that. I encourage everyone to vote early if they can. And I want to do that so that I can talk about, as a voter who's already voted, I don't care if they move forward. I want them to move forward. Welcome back, America. 51 minutes after the hour. I'm Hugh Hewitt. The president is going to nominate, the Senate is going to confirm justices of the Supreme Court before the election. That's happening. What doesn't have to happen is any expression of anti-Catholic bigotry on the part of Democratic senators, like they have done so in the past regarding Amy Coney Barrett, who is likely to be the nominee, or maybe Barbara Lagoa if she is the nominee, or any anti-religious bias by Democrats should Joan Larson, an evangelical, be the nominee, or Alison Rushing be the nominee. She's also an evangelical. I just don't like it. It is not American to introduce. It is prohibited by the Constitution in Article 6. I was reading a political essay today saying it's okay by a fellow named Massimo Fagioli of Villanova. He calls himself a Catholic scholar. I don't know him. He accused me of saying the Democrats and the news media expressed an anti-Catholic bias. I said some. I actually said that the bias against Catholics lives within the Democratic Party and within the news media, which it does. And I have in my hand, and I have tweeted out, The Dogma of Dianne Feinstein by Sohrab Ahrmani, a New York Times op-ed of 2017 that recounts Dick Durbin hectoring Amy Coney Barrett. Do you consider yourself an Orthodox Catholic? Maisie Hirono of Hawaii darkly insinuated that Ms. Barrett would apply Catholic morality to decide cases. The ranking Democrat of Judiciary, Dianne Feinstein, said, quote, dogma and law are two different things. And I think whatever religion is, it has its own dogma. The law is totally different. And I think in your case, Professor Amy Coney Barrett, when you read your speeches, the conclusion one draws is that the dogma lives loudly within you. And that's of concern. I mean, it's just anti-Catholic bigotry, just naked anti-Catholic bigotry. Yesterday, Maisie Hirono was asked whether or not her religious views would be off the table if Barrett comes before the committee again. And Senator Hirono said no. Can you believe it? Then Alexandra DeSantis has a great article over at National Review. Democrats' anti-Catholic bigotry is all about abortion. And I have tweeted out for you James Martin, the liberal Jesuit's history of anti-Catholicism in America. It is unacceptable from one Democratic senator. Now, they can't hide behind the fact that they've nominated a Catholic many times. They nominated Catholic Joe Biden, Catholic Joe Kerry, Catholic John Kennedy. I love Bobby Kennedy when I was a kid. You know, I know that Democrats are traditionally Catholic, but their anti-Catholicism, these three senators' anti-Catholicism was palpable, and it's got to be condemned whenever it appears. Whether it's in a ridiculous op-ed by Massimo Fagioli or other obscure scholars who say, don't worry about it, it's okay to be anti-Catholic. We can deal with it.
They don't know anything about the Constitution. They don't know anything about the religious test clause, Reformation England, why the United States framers in 1787 included Article 6 that specifically prohibits religious tests. I honestly, I just don't think they know how evil it is. It applies, by the way, not just to Catholics, but to Protestants, Jews, Muslims, people of no faith at all, atheists, agnostics. None of them can be questioned on what they believe or don't believe about God. There is no religious test allowed in the United States. And we have to be adamant about that, or we will reintroduce the sectarian ills that plagued Europe for hundreds of years. This country has never had them, and we can't allow that poison into the public discourse. And so when people advocate for it because they want to attack a nominee, say no. Yeah, I mean, look, Ruth Marcus, my liberal buddy over at the Washington Post, is attacking Amy Coney Barrett based upon her decisions having to do with reproductive rights. That's perfectly fair game. I think she's wrong, Ruth Marcus. I think she's wrong. But it's perfectly legitimate for Ruth to write about her opinions and why she thinks she'd be a threat to reproductive rights. That's con law. And I mean, the senators can ask her about those opinions all day long, and they'll get the Ruth Bader Ginsburg answer, which is I don't discuss cases that are pending or might come before the court. And we'll all have the same discussion we've had every time since Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and they'll end up voting 52-48 or 53-47 or 51-49 to confirm the justice. I mean, it's all just a passion play. But let's not put into the passion play animus against Catholics, any kind of Catholic, Catholic light or Catholic dark, Catholic right or Catholic left, Catholic north or Catholic south, Catholics on the East Coast, Catholic on the West Coast, or Catholics in the Midwest. Let's just keep it out of the conversation, shall we? That would be the constitutional thing to do. That would be the American thing to do. That would be unusual for Senators Feinstein, Durbin, and Hirono to do, but maybe they will repent of their sin against Article 6 in the hearing against Amy Coney Barrett and conduct themselves appropriately. They are the government. By the way, the media can be as anti-Catholic as they want. They're protected by the First Amendment. The government is prohibited from having a religious test. Imagine the senator of the United States saying, I'm not, you're too Catholic to be on the court. Then you'd get it, right? So insinuations of the same thing are just as repugnant and just as anti-constitutional as saying we don't put Catholics on the court. Of course, we do put Catholics on the court. We have in the past. This ought not to be an issue. And it is not an answer. How can they be anti? They support Joe Biden. He's Catholic. They can't be anti-Catholic. Oh, please spare me. That's like some of my best friends are Catholic stuff. Just utter nonsense. We will not put up with it. And I get to talk to four senators and Chuck Todd about this in the next 2 hours. Don't go anywhere, because the fullest, fairest discussion of the Supreme Court vacancy is found right here on the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.